welcome to another episode of Meeting Pros. I'm your host, Kevin Finn, and as usual, I'm with my lovely co-host, Jessica Park. Welcome, Jessica.
Hey, how's it going?
So, I missed you last week. I'm not going to lie, I enjoyed sleeping in, but how was your vacation? You came back from a nice, relaxing vacation.
Yeah, it was awesome. We went to Martha's Vineyard for several days and relaxed. It was wonderful.
Did you get any sailing in?
No, I didn't, but it was okay. We just laid around on the beach and hung out, and it was great. And then I came home and found out that one of my dessert tables was featured in the fall issue of Occasions magazine. So
you're welcome. I'm going to take credit for that.
Nice welcome home.
But yeah, well, as usual, we have actually, I think this is the most people we've had in the studio for this show.
For this show, yes.
So, dun, dun, dun. I've had 15 before, but guys, we're getting there. This is the record for Meeting Pros.
This is 10. We have 10 people in here. You can't tell from, the radio, but...
Well, I think we can shove more people in here.
Exactly.
It's like a clown car.
All right.
So who do we have in the studio today with us?
Today we have Mark and Tracy England with This Is You by Mark and Tracy Photography Company. We have Travis Gilbert with Phonics Entertainment. And we're going to start the show today with Deidre and Wendy Hogg of Flowering Events.
Welcome, ladies. Well, tell us a little bit about your company and how it got started.
Well, thanks for having us. We're really thrilled to be here. The company is called Flowering Events, and it was started in 2000. So we're going on 13 years, and it started with big events and is now in hotels and corporate work and weddings. So flowers, flowers, flowers.
So when you were a little girl, did you just decide you loved flowers so much that's what you're going to do with your life?
Well, that's a good question. I've always liked flowers, but... I actually have a business background and had an early midlife crisis and wanted to get out of corporate America, so moved to Japan. And when I was living there and teaching English, started studying Ikebana, which is the 5th century ancient art of Japan. And that experience and studying there for 2 years gave me insight that I wanted to work with flowers when I returned back to the States.
That's cool. That's like the start of a movie right there. So,
yeah.
Well, if any producers are out there listening,
it's an indie movie.
Deidre Champagne is my name. Sounds like a good title for
Yeah, it does. It does.
Japanese floral
And you came
flick.
From the hospitality industry as I did, so you have great experience in the industry.
Yes. So we're 24/7 for the most part, and we service hotels primarily. We do weddings, only one a weekend. But we were real fortunate when Starwood moved into Atlanta, the W Hotels, we opened the W Midtown, and then that just went to W
just
Downtown
snowballed.
So they don't close, so neither do we.
Awesome. Wonderful.
Well, I can imagine having that business background has helped you a lot, because a lot of people that get into these artistic, entrepreneurial companies, the business part's normally the hardest part for them to grasp on. So how's that helped you with the business background, the corporate background?
I would say that's invaluable. So it's good to work with both sides of my brain. I really like the creative side as well.
Well, how did you get involved in this?
Well, Deidre and I have been friends for many years, and I owned a motorcycle shop with a business partner, and I sold...
Seamless transition.
Yes, exactly.
I sold out of that in 2011. And took 6 months off, and Deidre asked me to come and do some business consulting with her, and took a little while, and I jumped in, and it's been fantastic. It's been wonderful to see how her business has evolved over the last, especially since the recession. I mean, everybody has gone through a hard time. Well, Flowering Events has weathered the storm really well and is growing astronomically. And it's been wonderful to be a part of that. So I'm part-time a business consultant for Deidre, but also I'm learning flowers and
awesome.
And helping with her with events and expand the business as well. But I'm very, very proud of Deidre. She's the only this is a sole business woman female business owned business, and she's done a really good job of growing it and staying afloat.
Well, thanks, Wendy.
We love to hear that, and we're big proponents of women-owned business here at Business Radio X. I know it's a lot harder. Both my mothers, my stepmom and my mom, both own their own business, so I saw them struggle through corporate America and all that kind of stuff, so it is very difficult. But the real question, Wendy, how much has your accent helped you with business, really? And how long did you practice it until you got it right? So.
Does she have you make all of the client calls?
Yes, she does.
It doesn't hurt.
Yes, I do. I do a lot of the sales for her. But when you go back to being a business consultant with any business, when you are a sole proprietor and you're struggling, and she's having to do every part of the business herself, from taking in the product to the final, to when it leaves, when she's in there on her own, it helps to have a business consultant that's able to make decisions.
I can imagine just having someone to share the responsibility with, just knowing someone has your back, mm-hmm. and we can't do everything. I have Jessica here, so when I mess up or I forget to do something, she's got my back, and having that makes me a better host. I'm sure it helps a lot in your business also.
Absolutely. Wendy's been a marketing guru.
Yeah.
And a real saving grace for flowering events.
So walk me through a customer engagement, how you get your customers, how you work with them, and what really sets you guys apart from all the other flowering companies out there.
Well, I'll start with the latter. I think what sets us apart is the background that I have and the staff that works with me. David is a fabulous designer, and he went to SCAD. So what we provide is a flowering art. Mm-hmm. It really sets itself apart from our competitors. And I purchase from all over the world and try to buy locally when we can. And everything is custom done. So when someone calls, we find out favorite colors or flowers and make them unique and beautiful and get it from our studio space to their door. Mm-hmm. And it's very rewarding to provide beauty.
Yeah,
definitely. I can imagine. So I come in, I want to do a corporate event. Are there any trends that you suggest, or do I say I want lilacs? I can't imagine businesses. They probably come in and say, hey, I need this event done. Make it happen. And do they give you a lot of creative freedom? Or
it depends. The pharmaceutical companies usually have logos and colors, so they come in with that information, and then we send them several photographs with different price points and work. We've become very budget conscious. So we work in their budget and give them what they're looking for.
But also Deidre will come up. She's very creative in that sense. She will come up with an idea. For instance, Great Clips, we did an event for them, and she did wheatgrass with scissors.
I like that idea.
Little simple things like that, as she said, very price conscious, and but interesting as well.
Definitely.
I helped coordinate a wedding that was in a cave in North Carolina, and they did the flowers for it, and they put bats all on the outside of the bouquet for the bride. It was pretty cool.
So my question for you, how much does it cost to reserve a cave for a wedding?
I think it was free. I think the space was actually free because they lived nearby. They were local.
Wait a minute. That sounds like you used someone's man cave.
No. No, it was an actual cave. Bride came down on a horse.
Yes, and their best man and maid of honor were their dogs.
That's true.
Right. Well, what's the coolest thing you guys have done with flowers? Like, if you think back to one of your best events, or the coolest thing that you sort of innovated on?
The cave wedding was up there.
Up there. Were the bats made out of flowers?
The pictures were really neat. I mean, they were really cool because you could see all the green outside, and it was really dark inside, and we had just thousands of candles inside. I mean, we were lighting candles for hours on the inside. But
definitely,
yeah.
Do you guys use any special products that other people might not use? Or
I think so. I work with a grower in Maui that I've known for
a grower
two decades.
In Maui.
Wow.
That sounds
I get
sounds
good
a little
packages.
About flowers.
You get high quality stuff.
Nice green flowers. Yes.
Yeah, man.
And they're he is actually named a pincushion protea, and they grow them at his farm.
Those
and he
are really
sells
cool.
Them to other
How would
people.
You incorporate? I can't even envision incorporating one of those into a bouquet. That's
Me either,
where
because
you
I don't
come
know
in.
What it is. So.
We also do succulents are very popular, mm-hmm. so the brides sometimes have succulents in their bouquets.
Yeah,
that makes
beautiful.
Me think they want to eat them, being succulent.
Succulent, I don't know. Succulent bouquets. Honeysuckles, I'm. I'm not sure.
You guys need some lessons in flowers.
I do. Yeah. I would love to. Do you guys do any of that educational work for anyone about flowers? Because I know as a guy, my girlfriend's all over it. She knows floral design. She's putting different flowers in our apartment to make it better. But to me, it all looks the same and really blurs together. So what kind of tips would you give to people for the guys out there that might want to have a wedding that their girlfriend asks them, what flowers should we use? And you say, I don't know. So what? The teepee, whatever flower we just...
The succulent flower.
The succulent flower, yeah, exactly.
Well, Wendy has talked about us doing some demonstrations and classes in the studio. And we have a 2,000-square-foot studio that was custom-designed for us. That
wow.
David and I organized it, so it's very efficient and really cool.
Yeah.
So you guys will have to come by. We're right off of Northside Drive and I-75.
Nice. Okay. You should definitely have workshops. I think a lot of people would be interested in that.
It's over by my apartment, so right down the street.
Yeah. And you can send your girlfriends and future wives over.
She would love that. That'd be great. So yeah. Maybe I'll do it as like a little secret date. So
I'm really wanting her to do something for just before Christmas. But it's little simple little things that I didn't know. For instance, a rose, when you cut a rose, actually I'll let Deirdre explain how quickly a rose needs to be put in water after it's cut.
Well, it's all flowers that oxygen, the lack of oxygen will cause the head to fall over. So you have 10 seconds to cut a flower and get them in water to drink.
Wow.
And if you get distracted and the phone rings or
wow,
you have something that comes up, you have to recut it, otherwise it won't live.
I did not know that.
No wonder all those flowers I bring home to my fiance after the wedding die so quickly.
So do you guys have any events coming up that maybe public events or anything?
Well, we actually have something for President Carter today.
Okay.
That we're doing. And we had something for the president of Emory yesterday.
Very cool.
We stay pretty busy.
And then, of course, the Dalai Lama, His Holiness the Dalai Lama, is coming in October, and Deirdre is donating a lot of flowers for that event.
That is huge. Do you guys do any other kind of charity work with flowers? Or?
Well, my cause is DLM, is Drapon Losling Monastery, which is here in Atlanta. And we do the flowers there weekly. And
that's so great.
You do restaurants. Do you do restaurants as well for flowers?
We do Spice Market.
That's so smart, because as a restaurant, you spend so much money keeping fresh flowers on tables and things like that. So
I can't believe that they're doing an event right now, but they made time to come in the studio with us. So you guys, when you say 24/7, you mean 24/7. That's great. So how would people reach out to you and get in contact with you if they wanted to learn more about your company and hiring you guys?
Well, it's floweringevents.com, and you can Google us, and it gives us information. We also won Best Florist the last 2 years in a row with Creative Loafing, so we should come up
that's
if you search us in
Google. With the loaf.
So your SEO is great. Actually, one thing I didn't ask you, how's social media and technology impacting your business?
That's a question for Wendy, because I had dial-up until not long ago. So,
well, most of Deirdre's customers, Flowering Events customers, are corporate, so it hasn't been as necessary for us to keep up. But it's actually been a lot of fun. It's wonderful having a florist connection to be able to send people virtual flowers for their birthday.
Oh, that's really
I love
cool.
that. Mm-hmm. They always send me flowers on my birthday on my page.
Virtual flowers? I never thought. That's genius right there. That's
something
I
could put you
do.
Out of business, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. So how fast do I have to cut my virtual flowers and put them in water to keep them?
Can you smell them?
Exactly.
That's scratch and sniff the screen.
That's an idea.
Mm-hmm. Well, give us your contact information one more time so people can get that again and where you guys are located.
So it's floweringevents.com, and the email address is lotus@floweringevents.com. That goes directly to the office. Our Facebook page is Flowering Events, and we are located at 684 Anton Street in Atlanta, off of Northside Drive.
Well, everyone go to the website. You can order flowers from there, right? You can do everything from there.
Yes.
So that's a lot better than that. What was that, 1-800-Flowers.com? You don't want to go there. This is local, and they put love and things into their flowers. So.
Yeah, show us the love.
Yes. Yeah. Well, thank you, ladies, for being on.
Thank you. We
thank
appreciate
you.
It.
So how about hanging out with us while we visit with our next guest?
Sure, we'd love to.
All right. Well, next up on Meeting Pros, we have Travis Gilbert with Phonics Entertainment LLC. Welcome, Travis.
Welcome to you as well. Thank you for having me.
No problem. No relation to Hooked on Phonics. Had to come up with your name. So.
No, actually, it's funny that you bring that up. I guess my story of at least how my DJ career started is nothing like the story you just heard. It started in a college. And
it's a different kind of movie.
So. It's a different kind. Yeah. Hold it. We're talking like old school style. actually, the name, which wasn't originally to be anticipated the name of the company, way back when I became a DJ, it was one late night. I started just becoming a DJ working on WRAS album 88. And they had put me in front of turntables, which at that point in time, I came in starting with just CDs, and you know, they wanted me to work on turntables and all this other stuff. And so all of a sudden, my interest really went a lot farther than I anticipated, that they stuck me in front of turntables, which I'd never touched. This is like 1997, 98.
You must have been like me. I was ADD. I just want to interact with everything.
I was freaking out because all of a sudden, all the guys that I went to go see at the clubs to listen to, they're standing next to me, and I'm opening up for them. I'm like, oh, my God, this guy's going to call me out at the club, you know, or something like that. But our company name started or my DJ name came about one night. Gosh, I cannot believe I'm starting off our conversation with this. But what really happened was we were partying pretty late. I was in a fraternity. Mm-hmm. And
did you have a special grower somewhere?
No, nah, I won't allege to that, no. But I will say some liquids tend to make me intoxicate. Well, college people. Let's
college,
face it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We've all been there.
You know, it's an atmosphere that they see a half beer and, oh, that's mine. You know, that's,
exactly.
That's the kind of atmosphere.
Waste not, want not.
Exactly.
Going green. Yeah, I like that.
There you go. You're so twisting my story. I'm a 35-year-old man reliving my history here at the moment. But, you know, the funny part was is that I ended up – we drank way too much that night, and everybody went out to the club, and I decided I couldn't leave the couch. And Hooked on Phonics was on. And,
really?
Yeah. And, and what had happened was is that they had no remote, and the distance between the couch and the TV was too far.
Too far.
Too much for me to decide on. So I literally laid on that couch – as they left, because I'm actually not a big fan of drinking. Call me an LW. I don't care. I'm a lightweight, you know. And
that means you're a cheap date, so that's positive.
Yeah, there you go. Just kidding. But when they came back 3 hours later, I was still laying there watching Hooked on Phonics.
You were literally Hooked on Phonics.
That the day where they played it just for hours at a time over and over again.
Yeah, and they're like, that's DJ Phonics right there, DJ Phonics. And I was like, oh, no. Well, the next day it kept going with the fraternity. They all started calling me DJ Phonics.
I've become your fraternity name, so.
And, well, it was the Teaks back then, but.
Oh, you were a Teak, okay.
Yeah, I was a Teak for a short time until I got hit by a car, but that's a whole other story.
That's another story.
That's a whole
other
story.
We're going to have you back on for that.
So. But it stuck with it, and I realized, well, at least back then, I wasn't even thinking about a business. I was just, you know, DJ, and I was like, well, I can't spell P-H-O-N-I, you know, just like phonics. I can't do it like that, so F-O-N-I-X is how it came about. And then after, if you want to fast forward 10 years, when our company started in mid-2010, it was just, you know, Phonics Entertainment, and it grew from then. I'll be honest with you, I thought the name was going to be temporary because I was – from a SEO perspective, it's a nightmare. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because it's a word that are telling people our email is like, oh, God, they asked for the email. Can I just send you a link or something like that? You know, but ever since then, you know, it stuck with me, and I've enjoyed being a DJ, but it wasn't what I went to school for, believe it or not.
Really? You can't go to school for being a DJ? So.
No, you know, that's a big myth that if you're corporate, wedding, bride, client, whatever, and you're listening right now, if you ever hear from a DJ that there is a license to DJ, I want you to just smack them for me. There is no such thing as a license to DJ like a license to drive.
Same as radio host. I just tell people. I tell people it beats working, so that's why I got a degree. And then I said, "Well, this is a lot better than working." So that's what I'm going to do.
Exactly. But no, I kept going on in the industry of believe it or not, I wanted to be an architect, And my father is an icon in the poultry industry, believe it or not, and did a lot of work in engineering. So I went to Southern Tech for engineering and then transferred to GSU in the Urban Policy Studies program. And, well, it was a brand new school. That was the problem. And I really liked urban planning. Believe it or not, my thesis was Atlantic Station. And I am also the driver proponent that designed the HOV lanes that you drive on today.
That's awesome. I can thank you for a couple tickets. So.
Well, it wasn't all me. It was a really fun test that I got to do. I got to drive on the HOV lane, and the goal was to pace people and travel at any speed. So when somebody would do 100 miles an hour, I could pace them. And when the cops pulled me over, I just whip out a card that said, oh, well, I'm
testing.
It's R&D. It's R&D.
Yeah, research and development.
I absolutely
research
love
and development.
That. Very
yeah.
smart.
But that was where my life goal was. So I'm a little bit different DJ than most in the fact that I got a college background, graduated cum laude, what have you. And, you know, I'd been working on the radio, but the particular show that I worked on was called Planet 8. And it became the biggest college dance radio show in the nation. Had a grasp of 5 million listeners because, you know, with WRAS 88.5, it's 100,000 watts, so it can hit five states. Which gave us an opportunity to have 5 million listeners. Well, we got up to a million listeners, and I opened up for everybody from Paul Van Dyke to Paul Oakenfold. This was all dance-oriented, early millennium, and the show got featured twice in Rolling Stones. So believe it or not, I started in this kind of – this is the environment that I started in. Only back then, it was – the wall was filled with records.
Okay.
Back then when vinyl was still being used. Yes, I am a real DJ, by the way. I don't push buttons. Let's give a little breakdown. DJs that push buttons on a laptop, they are not called DJs. They are called LJs. Laptop junkies, that's what they're called. Mm-hmm. DJ has got a disc, and they're called disc jockeys.
Ah, that makes sense. Look at that. Who would have thought? Logical. So you have the degree, technical background. You got a million listeners. That's a lot. I know we at least have 9 listeners today.
Yeah.
So.
Nice. Well, I told a few other people, so.
Definitely. We definitely have more than that. But so let's talk about the business side. So, one, how'd your parents react when you're like, oh, well, I got this awesome degree. Thank you so much. I'm going to go start my own DJing business.
They hated it.
Really?
Well, my father is a very, very anal individual. He is very business-oriented. But honestly, he's actually, if you think I have a voice, he's the one with the powerful voice that I got from. He does a lot of seminars, and I actually helped him build multi-million-dollar food processing plants for everybody from Wayne Farms, Continental Grain. So my background is a little bit
different.
You
can do it all, so.
Well, I wouldn't say it all, but I have been called the DJ MacGyver before, which really was a huge tap on my shoulder. I'm not going to lie. I went home, and I felt like a hero that day.
You kind of have to be MacGyver in the wedding industry. I mean, you just you have to jump at any opportunity to make
kinda,
things right.
You kind of do. But
fix the dress,
always,
fix the flowers, run around.
But there's a very, very, very key thing, though, in the wedding industry. I'm not the MacGyver. The brides are the MacGyver, the wedding planners, the females are the MacGyvers. Us guys, we just make them happy. That's
exactly
the key
anything they
goal.
Want.
That's the key goal.
This is why your business is successful, right?
So well, the only tough part is logistics, explaining to a bride why they might need a lapel microphone or a condenser microphone might work better than a lapel microphone in those combos. Yeah, those become a little bit tricky, so you have to really get down to speak, you know, layman's terms. Like when I ask people, they ask me, yes, I need one wireless speaker. And I say, well, do you mean as in you want battery wireless or signal wireless, or you want a speaker that is just physically...
They want you to make it work, and it could be magic. So.
Exactly, and that's where we come up with the solutions. Definitely. We're very solution-oriented.
So starting your own business, what troubles did you run into? What successes, pitfalls? How did it all go?
Well, starting my own business, I'll be honest with you, it happened very quickly. And I was a freelance DJ for many years. I've worked with several of my competitors. Some love that, some hate that. And so I got to know the industry very well. And one problem that began to really bug me is I'm a very planning type individual. And I got tired of working with agents that would give me null information about an event, and I would show up with the wrong information, mm-hmm, yeah. or wrong equipment. Or my favorite was, today your name is this name because they don't know that you and I are different. and if you want to know the truth, it happened more than you'd like to believe. The DJ industry, when I first got into it, there was no sort of it's the easiest business to get into. I'm here to tell you right now, just about anybody in this room right now could start a DJ business because of technology now with the laptop.
Yeah.
On the flip side, running a DJ business, one of the most difficult things you can possibly do because your product does not sit on a shelf. Your product is an individual, which means you have to constantly test them and make sure they're up to their game. Because as we know, DJs age. That's where you see the 65-year-old DJ that is trying to do a Sweet 16.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, that's not me. I will tell you that right now. That will not be me. That will not be me. But the start of our company, you know, I worked with several others, had some great experiences, but just saw a lot of frustration on the planning and on the forefront. A lot of it was even for weddings. My first experience with a wedding was an agent that called me up the week of and said, I have a wedding for you happening this Saturday. I need you to cover it. And I said, I'd never done a wedding before. He says, you'll figure it out. It's really easy. All you got to do is just announce a few of the dances.
Gosh.
Yeah, I'm serious. And so me being myself, I was like, there's no way I'm going to get out in front of a group of people and look like an idiot like that. Because my whole thing when I DJ isn't just about, okay, I want to play my music. It's really all about, I want to see people having a good time. That's the goal, is to see people have a good time. And, you know, luckily I had a mentor at that time that gave me a template to run a wedding, and I was able to successfully pull it off. And because I pulled it off, of course, the agent said, well, you've got a wedding every week now, which is insane. And that was what was tripping me out, was there was a lot of agents that worked in their basement, mm-hmm. in their underwear during this time of day right now, making sales calls, and they'd find their DJs on, like, Craigslist. Or they charge $1,000 and they pay the DJ $150. Like, seriously, this kind of stuff would happen. It would drive me nuts. And just the logistics of running some of these companies, I felt like wasn't right. And unfortunately, I had a hard parting with the company in 2010, and it spiked me to start my own. I was like, well, this is what I do for a living. At that point in time, I had made a decision about 8 years ago. I quit doing any kind of urban planning, stuff like that, because the problem I ran into was, in order for my degree to be successful, because I came from the Andrew Young School of Policy Studies at GSU, mm-hmm. which is now famous, but wasn't then. It was a second year. So everybody looked at my degree and was like, oh, that sounds great, but what the heck do you do? You know, what is it that you really do? You know, I was able to use a lot of those skills and apply them to starting my own business. And, we started out 4 days into our company with 40 shows.
Wow. That's pretty impressive right there.
You know, it's just because I felt a lot of it was going out and meeting folks, talking with them one-on-one, individually. You know, being out in the open eye, there's over 700 DJ companies when you look it up online that you can choose from.
Yeah. It's a lot.
And the pricing structure.
So varied.
Exactly. So varied depending on date, so varied depending on the type of company, the experience, so varied to even the region of the country that you live in. Because if I was in New York right now, I would not be at the price point I'm at. I'd be about three times more expensive.
Oh, definitely. I used to live in New York, so I definitely know that is the truth. What other services does a DJ company offer, and why wouldn't somebody on Google want to go with the cheapest DJ, per se?
Great question. Great question.
That was a great question.
Yes. I will give you some brownie points for that. But here's the problem about going with the cheapest DJ. And, you know, there was a recent actual show on 2020 that actually talked about the cost of DJs, and they chose the worst DJ to contact to explain the difference between the $500 DJ and a $1,500 DJ. You know, and this is where a lot of misconception comes into play, in that some folks say, well, I can order a DJ for my birthday party for $500, but it costs double that for my wedding. What's the difference? He's doing the same thing. No, he's not. I'm here to tell you, no, he's not. Your wedding and your birthday party are two different things. Are you going to have your wedding every year? No. You know, so doing a wedding, the reason it's more expensive is a lot of the hosting and the pre-planning aspect. It's not just 4 or 5 hours. We actually spend 25 to 30 hours on a wedding. And you know, I think what really made us different was that we only focused on DJs that did it for a living. When the company started, I knew right from the get-go, a lot of DJs are actually stuck in what we call non-competes. And that's where they work for just one company.
Yeah.
And the problem in our town is there's no real big dominant giant DJ companies. As much as we got a pretty good sector of the wedding market and DJ market here in Atlanta, it's not like LA or New York where there's a couple of companies that are just, boom, they're dominating. So you got a lot of freelance DJs here in Atlanta. And that's also what I was. Believe it or not, the majority of good DJs here in Atlanta don't work with just one company. They work with a variety of companies. And we allowed that as long as they DJed for a living. Because we realized the better that they stayed consistent with working each weekend.
Better they did.
Exactly.
Sure, the technology. You want to stay current on the technology as well. What do you do to keep current with the trends in technology?
Hire a young guy.
Yeah.
That's, I'm telling you, in the DJ industry... that's one trick that we did, because as an entrepreneur in a small business, you run into a limitation of time. It's, for me, it's not money, believe it or not. A lot of folks look at me and say, what do you mean not money? What, you got all the money in the world? No. It's what I can accomplish in a day and time management. And for me, that's honestly very difficult because I'm more of a creator individual. Hence, we have another person in our business that monitors all my moves and, you know, kind of manages from that standpoint, sitting over in the corner over there. So, hence she's watching my time right now, giving me signals, speed it up, you know. But what really focused on us was paying attention ahead of time to what they were looking for. For example, a lot of companies won't let you meet their DJ or talk to the DJ, the actual DJ beforehand, and they won't tell you on the phone. You'll be talking to some guy, say, I'm a sales guy. You don't find out till a week before your wedding or your gig that that was not your DJ. It, particularly for weddings, that's extremely important.
Definitely.
And see, for us, the first thing we think is personality match. Because doing the music these days, the technology that you are talking about, staying upfront, the challenge with technology is it's made our job more easier. And that's what the initial thing that people think is, oh, well, technology has came about, you know, stuff like virtual DJ and stuff. It's all digital. All they got to do is push a button.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I can be that guy.
My sister's brother can do it, so that's what they think.
But then there's still mixing. And then some folks say, well, we don't need mixing for a wedding. So this is the number one thing I tell folks to look for when they first start looking for a DJ. Listen to their voice.
Yeah.
Pay attention to them. Meet them. Personality. Because this person's going to spend one of the biggest days of your life with you. Not only that, he's going to be on the microphone talking throughout the event, instructing folks. You want to make sure that you click with that individual. And, you know, everybody goes, well, sometimes I'll find a DJ and he's $3,000. Well, a DJ in Atlanta for $3,000 for just DJ services, yeah, if you wanted to book somebody like Frank Ski, which is $8,000 actually, that'd be different. No, not everybody's doing that. And so they end up looking for, oh, here's a $300 DJ. What they don't realize, though, is because the DJ business is so easy to get into, that's typically the guy that works at IBM Monday through Friday, 9 to 5. And oh, by the way, he DJs on the side on the Saturday. Now, don't get me wrong. You might find a good DJ that way. But the reality is this. You are not number one to him. You are number two, because you can be rest assured if his day job called him in, he's going to go to his day job more than he's going to go to you. So that's why we always focused on full time, because we wanted to make sure that they were in it and that their performance will reflect on their future as far as being able to get gigs.
Definitely.
You know, and that really helped us out with a lot of our success. But when it comes to picking out DJs, natural cost here in Atlanta is going to range anywhere for, if you want a professional DJ, and when I say professional DJ, and I actually have a full email that describes this to brides, professional DJ I really term as having a DJ with a company backing. And that means that it's not just one guy. And I want to tell you that right now. This company is not just me. That was never the goal.
It's not you with multiple wigs and glasses. And
Not
how many DJs do you have on staff?
We have 10 on staff, but we say mostly 6 that we call wedding ready. Yes, if we could go back to the movie Multiplicity with Michael Keaton, I would definitely stick a few of me in there. Actually, nowadays, I actually stick a few of my other DJs in there. I don't fit everybody's personality and stuff like that. But
well, let's talk about some of the success your company's had, some of the events you've done. Just get the word out there about that.
Our success has actually been quite above normal. It really kind of took me for a shock on how quickly the business came to fruition. you know, I always started off with a slogan in my mind that says, your vision to fruition with flawless execution. And that really kind of stuck to me about, you know, pre-planning the event. And then, of course, the performance and experience, because we require all of our DJs to perform 3 events. They have to perform a 50 questionnaire. It's a 6-month process for us to bring on a DJ.
Wow.
That's a big difference compared to everyone, you know, some of the other companies. And, you know, as far as what's going to be happening in the future with us and some of the other products that we offer, a big thing that we're in right now is lighting. And we got really into lighting because we saw too many DJs using or companies using old-style par cans that heat up the room, or they transfer over to LED technology. But just because it's LED doesn't mean it's bright enough.
Definitely.
So we've really gotten into uplighting. We've become more known as an actual median company between a DJ and a production company. You know, the production companies you can get uplighting for to uplight your entire building.
Yeah.
You know, DJ companies, a lot of times they run into a problem where you have a 30-foot wall and your uplight only goes up halfway. And that's where we bring out the higher power lighting. We've researched the technology, worked with photographers and such, you know, to make sure that the lighting is spot on. But a lot of our future is going to be, you know, more of focusing on different packages, more DJ training. I'm not going to lie, we're going to probably go through another rate increase here in the near future, just because we're well over 200 events right now, and most DJ companies of our size only do 200 events a year.
Wow.
So we're really pressing that, so to speak.
So what's next for you guys? What are you guys going to do?
Well, later on today, I think what we're going to get ready. No, I'm just kidding. You know, we really want to press more into getting into the higher end market, so to speak, with different packages. You know, one of the things that's been most challenging is expressing the pricing of a DJ, because they can't, a bride can't call a DJ. Yep. And speak, you know, and that's why we say try to meet with your DJ and make sure you know that you are talking with your actual DJ, not a sales rep. But you know, again, pushing in the forward, we're just looking forward to having more events. You know, we're going to be bringing off on more internal staff is what we're looking at doing, to kind of work on time management and what have you. You know, we really feel like we're at a point in our company where it's at that point where you're at the top of a small business and you're mm-hmm. becoming a medium-sized business.
Definitely.
And internal things have to change. But our number one goal is to always take care of our current clients. So
we love to hear that. So we definitely feel the same way. But with Phonics Entertainment, if you want to meet your DJ, get to talk to him, get to know the personality, that's the company to go to. You've said it over and over again. But
yeah, I'm pretty redundant about it because
good.
A
it's
lot
important.
Of times,
a lot of I don't think people realize a lot of times you don't get to meet the person. You go ahead and book them, and you think, oh, they're good. They're going to press the button and play the right music during my special song or dance, and that's not always the case.
And a lot of times, people pick a DJ based on their website.
Yeah,
that is the biggest issue ever, because anybody can get a free little Wix website. If y'all notice, a lot of DJ companies with the same template, you know, it's got the 3 pictures in the middle and it's got up top the slideshow and whatever, you know, they all look very similar template style.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, you know, we actually custom design our website. I personally think it needs an update, but we still get compliments on it because it doesn't look like it
every
was
other website.
Exactly. But don't ever pick a DJ based on a website.
Yeah, that's
pick
weird.
A DJ. you know, Google. Look at the 2 most important things I say to folks is, number one, talk to your actual DJ.
Mm-hmm.
I can't say that enough, because people don't know to ask that question when they call up. They think the DJ just answers. So make sure you're talking to your actual DJ. And if they don't give you a straight answer, then skip to the next company. And call at least 2 or 3 different companies.
It is all about engagement at the event.
Definitely.
Because if you have a lousy DJ, the party's going to end a lot sooner, and it's just going to be a bummer.
Or a bad dessert table. So.
Right.
And
can't
be sure
have
to,
that.
Exactly. And be sure to check out reviews, too. Mm-hmm. Reviews are a big thing. And make sure you read reviews on multiple sources. You were talking about SEO, and this is a problem that's happening today, is I call them review warehouses. And it's where a company will call you up and say, hey, for $495, we'll write you 10 awesome reviews, and we'll also get you 9,000 fans or something like that
right.
on Facebook.
Yeah.
A lot of people do it. I hate to say it. We don't participate in it because I'm a terrible liar. So I can't lie well. I'm not a good liar. So I keep everything very blunt on the table. And, you know, you have to keep an eye out for that when I tell folks to read reviews. So make sure you read them on a multiple of sources and make sure it identifies an actual individual and it's not talking just about the company.
All right. Well, how do people reach out and contact you guys?
They can reach us multiple ways. Our website, www.phonicsentertainment. And let me clarify, it's F as in Frank, O as in Octopus, N as in Nancy, I as in Igloo, X as in Xavier, entertainment.com.
So people who haven't used Hooked on Phonics will be able to,
find it.
They'll be able to, or just Google F-O-N-I-X and we pop up. You can also reach us on Facebook and Pinterest as well, Phonics Entertainment. We got a ton of... One of the big things we're all about, too, is we have a ton of pictures of our setups and, you know, just our previous work so that, you know, people can really identify. As you guys know, pictures are worth 1,000 words.
Definitely.
And just about every other social media site we're on as well. So anybody out there that is looking for a DJ, especially now, companies, I know a lot of corporate business are listening right now. It's time to book your holiday DJ. Don't wait till mid-November and get the DJ that does it on the side that's going to make you look bad in front of your boss.
All right. Can't have that.
And if you mention Business X Radio, we'll... Business Radio X.
I do that all the time, too.
You know, and the sad part is it's written like right in front of me, too. You know, I'm sitting here thinking off top of my head. But if you mention Business Radio X, we'll give an additional $50 discount.
All right. Well, thank you so much for being on.
Thank you for having me on.
And last and definitely not least, we have Mark and Tracy England. And you guys have been sitting patiently, writing notes, making funny faces at people.
Notes at me because they know I'm a talker. I just keep on talking. So let me plug them. These are two great photographers that I have worked with. We've seen a lot of their work. They do an awesome job.
Awesome. Well, welcome guys to the show.
Thank you.
Hi.
Hey.
I just want to say how thankful I am for Travis that he was only one channel away from being named Sweet Pickles instead of the Phonics.
Really?
Oh man, that would stink, man. Or what if a Viagra, you know, DJ Viagra? That would. Yeah. Oh man.
I don't know how I would feel about that. So. Maybe for like an old folks home or something.
Honey, who did you find? DJ Viagra.
No, we're not hiring him for our work.
No.
So, Mark and Tracy, tell us about your company and what you guys do.
Well, we basically focus on weddings. About 90% of our photography is done at weddings. We started it back in 2010 is when we got our license and insurance and everything else and decided to switch from the families and the children and everything else to focus on weddings. And that's pretty much what we do all the time. That's our full-time job.
If you were to compare us to a haircut, I would have to say that we would be a mullet.
Mullet?
She would be the business end.
Okay. You're the party.
He's
end.
The party in the back, I guess.
Yeah, I'm the she's the amazing.
So, how is it being married and starting a company together? How'd that happen? So,
we have our moments. When we our office is in our house, so basically our desks face each other. So every once in a while he's editing or whatever, he'll spin his monitor and say, "Hey, check this out." So I have to do that about, I don't know, 10 times an hour, stare at it and stop what I'm doing. So it's kind of hard to focus
the
sometimes.
The funny cat videos. So
yeah. Contrary to popular belief, photography is 90% being in front of your computer and 10% actually taking pictures.
So. Okay. Yeah. All right. So how did you guys get this started? What did you want to be a photographer when you were a kid? I wanted to be Batman. That didn't work out. But.
Well, I wanted to be an archaeologist and dig up dinosaur bones. I figured that wasn't going to really happen. I did take photography in high school, and I always loved it and just kind of did it on the side. And I think, honestly, when we were planning our wedding, we had great photographers. And it was just kind of at that point when we got our wedding pictures back, we said this is what we need to kind of transfer over to. He had done, like, landscape stuff, just kind of casual on the side as well. But definitely, I would say, from planning our wedding back in 2010 is when we switched over.
Well, and a photographer is one of the most important parts of a wedding. A DJ also. But
yes,
photographer, DJ messes up, people forget about it over time. But a photographer, those pictures last forever.
Last forever. And as a DJ, we always have to make sure we announce the photography or make sure we tell the photographers where to go, which is a great thing. We love working with Tracy and and her team is that they're very thorough about, they know where they need to be at the right time.
Well, definitely professional. Well, that's what I want to talk about. People have this misconception, like they also do with DJs, that, well, if I take 1,000 pictures, I'm going to get 20, 30 that are going to be good. I can just grab a nice $3,000 camera and take pictures, and it's going to be fine. Why do I need to hire a photographer? And I want to just slap them in the face, and sometimes I do. So.
Yeah, thank you for that.
It's kind of like when you eat something that tastes really, really good, you know, they must have a good pot. Cook it in, you know.
Yeah, definitely.
It's obviously the pot.
Definitely.
Makes the good food.
Mm-hmm. So talk about sort of your customer engagement. There's a lot of photography companies around Atlanta. It's definitely a tough business to start. How do you guys get out there, get the word out there about yourself?
Social media is definitely huge for us. We haven't done print advertising or anything like that. We've done maybe 2 bridal shows, and it was just more, I think, Facebook. We just recently started Twitter. We're not super active on it, but we have it connected to our Facebook, so we'll tweet every once in a while.
That's helpful.
It is. Yeah. But Facebook, I think, is where we kind of got our head start on it. And then just basically our brides that we have, they go through and they refer other different brides, that their friends that are getting married. So that is the majority of our business, the referrals, which is, I mean, it's worked great for us.
Awesome.
Well, definitely.
Referrals are the best, I would say.
Love it.
Yeah.
Well, I also like to talk about how wedding photographers, and you probably do this too, is you're also sort of like shrinks for the brides there. You're there in their intimate moment, getting the picture, and sometimes stuff breaks down, crazy stuff happens. You guys have any stories about that? Without any names, I don't want to get you in trouble here.
I mean, you definitely have your brides who are, you think that they're doing great and they're, you know, laid back all day, and then all of a sudden, about 5 minutes before they have to walk down the aisle, they kind of lose it.
Just have a meltdown.
They start, yeah. I mean, we always say when we talk to the bride and groom, we are the ones who are there with them from beginning to end. I mean, we're there when they're getting their hair and their makeup done. We're there, and I'm the one who's there with the bride right before she's getting ready to walk down the aisle. She's getting ready to meet her dad. Sometimes I'm alone in the room with the bride, you know, 5 minutes before she sees her groom. So it's definitely a... where you have to kind of get personal with this bride. That's why we always meet everybody ahead of time, because you don't want to be the stranger that shows up and spends quality time with the bride before she's getting married. So yeah. It's important just to make sure that you have a good connection with your bride and groom. Mm-hmm. And
kind of put them at ease.
Definitely.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, my God, don't cry.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're messing up your makeup.
And if they do mess up their makeup, I mean, you still have to take pictures, and you have to make sure they look good. It's their wedding.
Right. Yeah. I've learned how to bustle dresses, put the fake eyelashes, you know, the last-minute stuff. I've had to do that, too.
Yeah. Something that's kind of a little different about us, she's got more wedding dresses than anybody I know in her closet.
Wow.
I mean, we both left corporate America to do what we do. So when we show up for a wedding, it's because we really want to be there. We've shot a wide range of weddings, upper echelon weddings to we've donated weddings. So, mm-hmm. I mean, but we're definitely, you know, we won't shoot a wedding without each other. We've done it so much now, you know, to where we've got it down to a science. We know what to do. And it's, you know, when they hire us, they get an amazing product delivered. And they will never get
Tracy.
Yeah, they'll, mm-hmm. they'll never get Mark and somebody else, or
that's
Tracy
great.
And somebody else.
It's you have a built-in second shooter. That's priceless.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
You don't have to have that random second shooter that you find on Craigslist to come and show up and help you.
I don't see how people do that.
I don't either. I really don't.
And with us, there's not a first and a second shooter. We're both competent. You know, a lot of people say that, well, they're the first on the wedding, and with us, there's Mark and Tracy.
Well, you guys can hear the passion in your voice. That you're really passionate about this, you love what you do. I want to get a little nerdy here. I want to get on the gear side. What kind of gear do you guys use? You shoot Nikon, Canon, and
Canon.
All right,
Canon all the way.
Nikon.
Good. I'm a Canon boy myself, so I have a film background. So
very good, good.
Definitely. Do you guys also do? My girlfriend's always going through Pinterest, being like, oh, look at these pre-wedding photos, the engagement photos and stuff. Do you guys do those?
We hear it all the time. I mean, I ask the bride definitely, you know, to kind of look online and get an idea of some of the things she likes. We try not to do a shot list or anything like that, because we try to be more creative. If they hand you this big old list of the pictures they have to have, you're not going to get the
organic.
Natural. Nothing organic, no natural faces. I mean, everything is posed and contrived, and it's definitely not the style that we go for.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if they want one or two like that, then that's fine. But again, we just kind of go with the moment and get what's happening at the time, not posing you.
The majority of the best wedding pictures that you'll see out there, like if we go to shoot at a venue, the last thing we'll do is Google image that venue to look and see what everybody else has done. We don't want to know.
Yeah.
And another thing is, you know, stop having everybody look at your camera. It's not, you know, a high school yearbook picture.
Mm-hmm,
you know?
Definitely.
We had just done a wedding last weekend at the historic courthouse in Lawrenceville. And we had taken the bride and groom actually across the street to do some pictures. And we came back in, the lady who was, I guess she runs the venue, and she said, "Wow, I've never seen anybody take somebody across the street before. What did you do over there?" It's like, really? I mean, it's a really cool little, they had a brick gazebo out there. I mean, it was just really nice. Some things that were different. And she said that she hadn't seen any other photographer take somebody over there, which, I mean, made me feel great because I don't want to do the same picture everybody else has done.
Definitely.
Yeah. At my wedding, I actually had black and white and color. I had two photographers, and they were all candid. It was awesome.
That is great.
I still can't get over how cheap you did your wedding for. That's my goal.
You can't talk about that part.
Never mind. I'm going to edit that part out, Warren. So. It was only $30,000.
Right.
So
yeah.
Very cheap.
Great deal.
So how do you guys deal with backups, deliverables when you take the pictures? What's the time between when they get the pictures?
Basically, we tell them 4 to 6 weeks. We'll have their images back to them. They'll always get.
That's really fast. You guys don't realize that's quick.
That
right
is
there.
Fast. I mean, I've had people who come to me afterwards going, "Gosh, I wish I would have hired you." You know, their photographers take 6 to 9 months to get their images back to them.
Yeah.
A year to get their album, things like that. I mean, I've heard a lot of horror stories. We try very hard within the first week or so to actually get them a couple of sneak peek images. We'll put them on Facebook or we'll do a little blog for them on their website. But, 4 to 6 weeks, they'll have all their images up on a proofing gallery. They get to go online, and depending on what package they pick, they can pick the images they want off there, or they'll be able to, get them all, and we get them ready for them and send it out to them, and by the six-week time, they have them.
Awesome.
Once we have those pictures and they are amazingly delivered to them, we also hold on to their images for life. A lot of photographers put it on a CD, hand it to them, there you go.
Wow.
Well, if something ever happens 15 years from now,
that's huge.
We will always hold those memories.
Yeah.
And even if their wedding package, means that they don't get all of those images, at a later point in time, we still have every single one, and we will.
That's a big service that I've talked to a lot of photographers. That's not something I've ever heard before. Mm-hmm. But for a life, you have their pictures stored. And if something happened, natural disaster, somebody lost it all,
yeah.
they could come to you guys.
Well, we have them in 5 different locations, some of them like at that single location, and then it's syndicated on 3 different servers. So
a lot of photographers send their images off to be edited, but I know that you do that yourself.
Yes.
You actually work with an editing company, so you like miss the middleman there. You get to do all the editing yourself.
Absolutely. We also render images for photographers from around the world.
Wow.
So we send and receive images. Matter of fact, I think on the way over here this morning, I had 5 events just came in on the server.
Okay.
So basically every week is thousands of images for
wow.
us. That's all we do.
That's why we do this full-time, because we couldn't do this part-time, definitely.
Yeah.
We deal with images and video.
So what other services? You mentioned those. Are there any other services you guys provide that sort of set you guys apart?
No, we're classic underachievers. That's pretty much it.
No, you do one thing and you do it better than everyone else. That's the thing. Keep it simple.
We did start doing motion picture, so it's videography that we've added to you can do as an add-on to your packages. We also have a Southern Vintage photo booth that we've incorporated in. We actually have our first photo booth event.
So you have like costumes and stuff you put on for that?
We do have, vintage looking little
so cool.
props, fun. Yes.
Batman. I love it.
So
Batman.
Our first event for that will be on the 21st of this month. But so we have those two things going. And then again, he does the Raw Focus, which is the processing company. And then we also do Southern Square Bridal, which is bridal shows.
Okay. Well, are you guys just local or do you guys travel? Will you do a wedding anywhere? Or?
We'll do a wedding anywhere. We'd like to do them everywhere.
We shot a wedding in the Dominican Republic and they gave us our own Republican.
I think he'd be a Dominican Republican.
No, Republican. So he held my beer.
Held your beer. Did he like? So you're like, all right. Did I have like a top on it? And you're like, all right, hit me. All right.
Let me just preface by saying that we don't drink on the job. This was after the whole reception was over, and so the reception was over, and they invited us to stay afterwards to hang out with
you.
Bride
were that
groom,
good?
So.
They had that good.
Yes.
Yeah,
so that's when they made us drink.
You can't. It's hard to drink now. It's hard to drink because of social media. Somebody snaps a picture of you with a beer in your hand as a vendor, and you're toast.
Right. Yeah.
So I bring my tea, and I'm fine.
So you guys mentioned
your tea.
No, seriously, it is tea. I promise
tea.
You.
It says Tivana on it. Definitely
it says Tivana. It's even got the little Julies in it too.
From Long Island.
Yeah.
So you mentioned the Southern Square Bridal Show just a little bit ago. What is that? really?
Basically, it's something that we started a couple years ago. We used to have a studio on the square in McDonough, and we kind of left the studio because, again, we're not big on the portrait photography. We don't want to be the sit and pose in front of this big white wall. It's just not our style. So, but while we were there, we decided to bring some vendors that we had met together on the little town square, and we put on a bridal show. And after the show was over, we had the vendors calling us back, brides emailing us saying, when's the next one? We had some people in Augusta actually email us that heard about it, so we ended up doing a show in Augusta, and it's kind of spread, so we've done several cities now, and it's just it's a bridal show put together, different vendors that we meet and go through and go to specific venues that are more of the intimate style. We don't want to do the big, you know, coliseums, arenas. We try to stay away from those.
Okay.
And just something more intimate that brides can come to and talk to vendors, and sometimes we'll do fashion shows in there. We have one coming up in October that'll have David's Bridal in it down in Forsyth, so...
That sounds like an absolute blast.
What's the date for that?
Let's that one is October 27th down in Forsyth. And that's why we have all the bridal gowns in a closet. He said, I have a lot of bridal gowns. I'm like, no. I've kept our bridal gown, but I have other ones that I have from when we had the studio. We had a little consignment shop in there as well. Mm-hmm. So it's just some
So you can wear them to weddings, right, and fit in. So.
There we go.
she will put the wedding dresses on and walk around the house.
I've done that once.
Wait a minute.
It was a really pretty dress.
You're not hiding my fiance's wedding dress, are you?
No, I'm not talking.
The opposite. I don't wear anything. I walk around the
house. Wait a minute. Is Tracy the one hiding your dress?
So let's talk about technology moves really fast, and you guys are canon guys. So the Mark III just came. I don't know what you guys shoot on, but how do you guys keep up with the technology and all that stuff?
The difference, this is pretty important, especially for people that want to get into photography or anything like that. It's not all about the megapixels. It's not all about the newest, the latest, the greatest. We've shot one of the most amazing cameras that has ever been created is the original 5D. From Canon. Okay, it's only a 12 megapixel. We've shot it at weddings with people with, you know, the Nokia Lumina's got 40 million.
I bet people can't tell the difference. I bet yours looks better than an amateur.
No, you can tell the difference when the image is sent to you and it's 5,000 gigabytes versus...
But the thing about it is it all goes down to it's a creative art. It's not all about the gear. It's not all about the equipment. Equipment nowadays is all satisfactory. Our images are unique. We have a special look development and our own algorithm that we put on our images to where nobody could ever have an image that looks like ours unless
that
they had,
really cool.
You know, Tracy and Mark. Otherwise, if you don't have hire a photographer that has that special look development, it doesn't matter who you hire, you know, because their images all look the same. It doesn't matter if you shoot
Canon
or Nikon.
I've never heard of that before. It's like a little formula. It's like CIA stuff right there.
Yeah, he is definitely the technical end of all of that, so that's why he does all the
editing. I can tell you guys work really well together. So
yeah, we each have our own jobs to do, and that's what makes it work. So
yeah,
and you guys can both take great pictures, so that's awesome.
You mean you guys just don't take 5,000 pictures and then just give it to the bride?
No,
that would be Uncle Bob.
5,000 pictures in a wedding. How many pictures of the cake do you want? I mean,
that's one thing I always see a challenge with in photography when because we get a lot of folks asking us sometimes, do you recommend a photographer? And of course, you guys are on our list of recommendations. But we always tell them, you know, don't look at it as how many pictures you get, because part of their job, I would think, as a professional, is giving you at least, hey, these are your top pictures. Mm-hmm. You know, do you want us to keep editing them? And, you know, their work is so impressive because you don't want to get stuck with the photographers. I say that we were talking about in the other room doing candid style, which is the white washout where they carry around the light. And it's like you don't see anything else in the picture except for a white face. You know, and it looks like your friend shot it. You know,
Definitely.
It's all the difference of hiring a very professional photographer.
Well, that's a really good point. How do you guys pick the right picture? Do you guys have like a system that you both say this is the picture that becomes
We got this down to a science. Tracy does it.
Look at that. Perfect. I need to take some tips from you.
Well, we definitely go around. We make sure that we get a picture of everything. I mean, all the guests that are there, we don't know exactly who is who in their other guest list, their bridal party, if it's, you know, great-grandmother who maybe their last family, you know, visit together, or if it's just a neighbor they felt like they had to invite. But we take a picture of every single person. That way, when they're going through their gallery, they have all the options of, you know, what they want. We do edit every single picture. We don't show them some and say, okay, do you want these edited? Everything they get has been hand-touched and marked.
Handcrafted, one by one, work of art.
That's great. Tracy, earlier you mentioned something about Facebook, and how do you do that with the social media? Do you create a page for them or something for their wedding? Or
No, we do a blog on our website for them, but then they also get an album in Facebook, you know, after the wedding has happened that we'll put up there. But it's just, I think, interacting with everybody on our page that has kept us going.
That sounds great. Well,
I'm sorry to bother. I have a photography question that I'm very curious about.
It's going to be Mark's answer.
What's your feelings about Two Bright Lights versus Pinterest?
Pinterest, I mean, I prefer Pinterest, honestly. Two Bright Lights is very commercialized, in my opinion. But Pinterest, you can get more of the people who have their individual ideas that you'll kind of see come through. So, I mean, I would go Pinterest if I had to choose one of the two.
All right. Well, if we're going to go there, I want to ask an Instagram question. How do you guys feel about Instagram with all their filters and stuff? And people think I'm a professional photographer now.
There's something way better than Instagram coming for somebody that's in a creative art like we are. I'll go ahead and plug it. Pressgram.
Pressgram?
Pressgram it's an app that will take your photos and post it to your WordPress site if you have a WordPress site.
Okay,
so
really
your photos
cool.
will actually go to your own platform instead of
So it's helping
Instagram.
Your SEO and all that kind
nice.
Of stuff.
Nice.
Yeah,
that is
yeah since
really
Instagram
cool.
owns it when you give it to them. So.
Right.
Well, I don't know about you guys, but Instagram, I don't think it's as popular in the South as it is versus Pinterest, at least from what I see. Instagram seems a lot more popular maybe out West. I don't know. That's at least my experience.
I know all the millennials, they absolutely love it.
Well, I mean, I use it only because I have four children. So, I mean, I just kind of use it for, you know, personal use. It's easier to pull out my little phone than it is my big camera all the time.
Definitely. Mm-hmm. So you got to keep track of that. So how do people reach out and contact
you
guys?
Well, they can't. I'm not allowed. I'm not allowed to talk to brides unless they've already.
He's lucky I let him come.
You're working on your British accent,
well,
right?
So well, I was going to say it would be a little bit more professional if we all spoke with an Irish accent for the last part.
I would.
Yeah, I need that person, the flower girl, to answer my phones. Just keep them on the phone right away.
The one of the last bridal consults that we had was she's sitting there, you know, talking to the bride and the groom about the wedding plans and stuff, and I'm over there talking to the bride's mother about my zombie apocalypse. Survival guide. You know,
it's that's what I would do right there. So that's just so important. So older generation, we need to get them on board with that just in case it happens.
Yeah, I get to hear about Walking Dead all the time. So that's in his headphones while he's editing. So it's great.
What about Resident Evil? I'm all about
it. It's on our home server. Yes.
Very nice.
All five episodes.
I love that.
Very
nice. Website for you?
Website
guys?
Is thisisyou.net.
I love that name.
We're on Facebook. This is you. Pinterest is This Is You Net, and Twitter's This Is You Net.
So, very simple.
Yeah, simple.
Mm-hmm. And keep it
this
with them.
Wonderful.
And for our post-processing is rawfocus.net and rawfocus. Bridal.
SouthernSquareBridal.com.
And that's the best way to get out there and contact you guys and hire you guys?
Yep, go to our website. You can click right over to Facebook from the website. You can shoot us an email from there and kind of check out some blogs, some of our work. I will say Facebook does get updated more often just because, you know, the website takes a little bit more work and time to be devoted into recreating the blogs, and so we do get a little bit behind on that, but you will have your pictures, you know, on Facebook first probably.
All right. Well, sounds good. Well, thank you guys for coming on, and great
thank
job.
Thanks. Yeah. Appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. Well, before I close, I always like to touch in with Jessica. She's got her Adventurepreneurs group and see how that's going.
It's awesome. It's growing every week. I've got about 1,000 members at this point. So it's called Adventurepreneurs, and it's all event industry professionals to kind of a forum for that. So yeah, it's good.
Awesome. What kind of platform are you, is it like through LinkedIn?
It's
are you
on
doing
LinkedIn and Facebook. And gotcha. I think I added you to it yesterday.
Okay.
You're special.
Well, this is Kevin Finn for Jessica Park and all our guests today and everyone here at the Business Radio X family saying we'll see you next week on Meeting Pros.